Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
All right, welcome to Golf Talk America, everybody. We have got an awful lot to talk about, and I think luckily for us, from a content standpoint, there isn't much going on the golf course, so we don't have to get into a lot of that as far as tournaments and things happening, because there's so much going on off the golf course, and we're going to talk about that. Certainly the Jon Rahm announcement that's been pending and probably anticipated for a few weeks at least has come to fruition as far as he and the LIV Tour. What that means, the implications of all that. Here we are in December, and the end of the year is supposed to be when the deadline is reached as far as agreement with the PGA Tour and the World Tour and LIV Golf and everything else. It hasn't come about yet. So we're going to talk about that, Frank and I, along with Todd Lewis will join us from the Golf Channel to discuss it as well. So I mentioned the aforementioned Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios. Hey, Frank, it's a little bit mind-boggling and hard to keep track of everything that's going on because there are so many different tentacles to this whole deal that just seems to keep expanding, doesn't it?
Yes. Sorry, I had my mute button pressed. Oh. It's totally out of control. It's crazy. It's nuts. Too many moving parts. The next thing you know, Jon Rahm's going to jump to the LIV Tour. I mean, geez, what else could happen?
what else crazy could
happen? Or maybe we'll roll back the ball and maybe increase the swing speed test to
right,
buck and a quarter.
Right in the middle of all this. Yeah, we're rolling back the ball. Yeah,
really? But not until 2023, 28, yeah. Whenever. It's 2028, right?
2059.
Yeah. What? How many things can happen at one time that will totally bastardize the entire game of golf?
It's crazy. You're right.
They're trying to kill it.
It speaks to the volumes of problems the world of golf has. And that could be USGA, RNA, PGA Tour, PGA of America. Right? We've talked about the problems that the PGA of America has with Ryder Cup. We saw it with our own eyes. Lanny Watkins opened her eyes even more about the screw-up problems with the Ryder Cup system.
Yeah.
It is a plethora of problems that just keep coming to golf. And in the midst of it all, a few people are getting incredibly wealthy. So people that missed it, explain what happened with Jon Rahm and the announcement that we just saw on Fox, by the way. Which
yes,
means
on
what?
Brett Baer's show. Yeah.
Means what? Yeah, who knows? It's a weird place to announce something like that, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You know, what's that mean?
That's what I said last night. It's at Fox, the announcement. And all of a sudden, if I had not been watching Brett Baer's evening news show, I would have not seen it because nobody really talked about it, where the announcement was going to be made. It was like they were playing games with the media, not letting it out to any one media outlet.
Right.
And keeping it quiet, and then all of a sudden Jon Rahm shows up in his Letterman jacket. Not David Letterman jacket, but, college Letterman,
LIV
or high
tour,
school.
Yeah,
LIV Tour jacket, which is really a cool jacket. I like that. And can I have one, please? LIV Tour? Send me one, please. I'll wear it while we do this show, live from a PGA Tour event.
I mean so much.
Bam. Yeah. I'll get shot. But it was the damnedest thing I've ever seen, and I turned to my lovely bride, and I said, they made this announcement on Fox. Fox is going to get back into the game. You watch.
They did it in such an exclusive way, as you're saying.
They didn't
make an announcement and say, hey, we're going to have an announcement, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be on sports broadcast. We're going to give it to everybody. Or even put it on ESPN somewhere that you would expect a sports announcement to be made.
Yeah.
The fact they kept it quiet and had it on exclusively on Fox does tell you that there's something in the inner working. That did not just happen with a phone call 10 minutes before they're going to do it and say, hey, Brett Baer, do you think we could come on and talk? No, there had been something in the plans to work out when it came out. It was going to be on Fox to do it. So I think it doesn't take a genius to figure one and one is going to be two.
Yeah.
And Fox is going to get back into this.
Fox makes sense
because they're big, big international broadcasters and they think maybe there's something to LIV worth broadcasting. Yeah.
And one thing before we take a quick break, because you're breaking up just a little and I'm wondering if we have an internet issue on your end. I'm looking at mine and doesn't seem to be, but we'll take a break and get that fixed before Todd comes on. But I want to make one more little announcement here. I'm convinced now after listening to CBS television news this morning that Jim Nantz needs to go down the hall and tell them, or get on a plane, he lives down right close to us, he's here in Nashville, Jim, get on the plane and go back up to CBS in New York and explain to them the difference in the PGA of America and the PGA Tour. Because CBS doesn't even know it. That is infuriating to me.
What did they do? I didn't see what they did.
They said, well, the PGA and the Saudi Golf League, but it never was the PGA Tour.
Oh,
so I guess maybe I'll call Seth and say, hey, Seth, didn't know you guys were merging with Liv, but CBS told me you were this morning. And God bless America, people. Get it straight.
That by the way.
That drives me nuts.
That's a whole other thing. Since for 50 years, 100 years, whatever it's been, was a bad way to do that, to distinguish between the two, and both of them keep the term PGA in there.
Yeah.
It's not that tough. If you're not really into golf, you would not know the difference. They have to clear those.
The Arnie Jack Tour wasn't available at the time.
Yeah.
Which is basically what it was. And right, I think Miller Barber was involved in that too. But
yes. Yeah. I mean, to me, that was just terrible marketing on both sides. You're like, okay, we got to distinguish.
And they're doing better today.
Come on.
They're doing better today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I just saw some communications that came out from tour headquarters, and there was an award given for charity of the year for the PGA Tour, and I'm not going to say what the amount was that supposedly they gave, because I hope it's a misprint, because it's tiny. So I'm going to look at that and get back to everybody on that. But
to that point, Frank, I think that's something that's good. I was talking to a few people that are normally on the show with us yesterday, all this stuff.
Yeah.
I think changes are going to have to happen. Obviously, big changes. And the fact that tour directors for all the different stops in the PGA Tour are having a big problem with being, there's not much money. You got to pump into our system now, and we can't do that on our own. We got to find our own sponsors and all that. I think the charity component of the PGA Tour is going to be drastically changed and probably drastically reduced, which nobody really wants, but nobody thinks about charity when LeBron James signs a new contract, right?
Hey,
Mahomes signs a new contract. There's not a component about the charity. I think that is a big part of the PGA Tour, and they're going to have to make some changes there to free up money.
Crazy stuff. Hey, let's take a quick break and make our adjustments to the system, and then we'll bring in Todd. What do you think?
Okay. Yeah, you're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and I will be back with Todd Lewis of the Golf Channel right after this.
Hey, everybody. Frank Bassett here, and I want to tell you about something that I've learned from Masterclass, and I'm implementing it right now into my life. I'm learning about crisis management, managing situations that are very difficult when they hit you right in the face. And it seems that they usually come in a multitude. They hit you. And so you know what I did? I went and took a masterclass from George W. Bush, for one. Interesting masterclass. Masterclass makes a meaningful gift this season for you and anyone on your list, because both of you can learn from the best to become your best, from leadership to effective communication to cooking. Whether you're watching Masterclass on TV, listening in audio mode, in the app, or on their site, the quality speaks for itself. It's like Masterclass instructors are your own personal mentors. They're going to help you reach the next level. How much do you think it would cost to take a one-on-one class from some of the world's best? Easily hundreds to thousands of dollars. With a Masterclass annual membership, it's $10 a month. Memberships start at $120 a year for unlimited access to one-on-one classes with all 180-plus Masterclass instructors. You can learn how to negotiate a raise from Chris Voss or manage your relationships with Esther Perel. Even take a class from Coach K. You know, I'm looking at that one too, because what I found with Masterclass and the 180-plus Masterclass instructors is you can go to one, go to another, go to the next one, go to sports, go to cooking, go wherever you want to go. It's just unbelievable and gives you so many options to pick from. It's just the best product I've seen in a long time. So boost your confidence and find practical takeaways you can apply to your life and at work. And if you own a business or you're a team leader, use Masterclass to empower and create future-ready employees and leaders. Let me tell you, 11 different categories, 180-plus instructors, you can't beat it. You just can't beat it at all. So here's what I want you to do. This holiday season, I want you to give one annual membership and get one free at masterclass.com/golftalk. Right now, you can get two memberships for the price of one at masterclass.com/golftalk. That's masterclass.com golftalk. Offer terms apply.
Welcome back, Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett talking about what's happening off the golf course, because there's so much more going on around the world of golf. PGA Tour, Live Golf, everything else involved, and not so much happening at this time of year on the golf course. And as we said, we're going to bring in our good friend Todd Lewis with the Golf Channel, who's in the midst of all of this, whether it's on the course or off the course, and living his life more so than almost all of us when it comes to the world of golf. So we welcome Todd to join the show. Todd, thanks for being with us. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Over the last year and a half or so, I'm constantly journalistically in the linebacker breakdown position, ready for anything to come at me.
Journalistically,
so today is another one of those days.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and break. I'll go ahead and break the news. I'm going to the Live Golf Tour. I'm going to announce that this afternoon on the CW.
Good for you.
Okay. What will be your role on Live Golf?
Probably. Player transportation. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Catering?
Catering, maybe. Yeah, whatever it takes. Yeah.
It pays $100 million to be a caterer, so I'm going to take
that. I better clear that up. No, Golf Talk America is not going to the Live Golf Tour. I was joking. Joking.
We'll let you know. Yeah. We'll let you know. We'll announce that on Fox.
I'm getting a call from a 904 area code right now. Looks like Ponte Vedra. Never mind.
So, Todd, was it shocking? We've all had the rumors and heard about John Rahm doing this, but once again, the names are big, and we keep hearing more and more. So they're not just picking smaller players, if you will, or more journeymen. They're going for big fish. The Live Tour is when it comes to that, and it seemed like, boy, they made an agreement and an understanding. And part of that was originally they weren't going to poach each other. Then they had to get that out of the writing, but they still, you kind of thought they were going to be playing nice and not have this happen. What does it mean that the Live Tour is still obviously going after big name players with big dollars? Does that mean it's imminent? We're not going to have an agreement between PGA Tour and Live?
No, I don't think it's imminent. Actually, I still think there's a chance that there will be an agreement between PIF, the PGA Tour, and maybe another group, a private equity firm of some sorts, as well. I think this ultimately was a leverage move by the Saudis. The PGA Tour, the ultimate thing that I feel like the Saudis wanted, talking to people who've been involved in these negotiations, was to have just a strict relationship, a strict investment with just the PGA Tour. Well, the Department of Justice gets involved, and having what is essentially the PIF is an extension, an arm of the Saudi Arabia government. So the Department of Justice is like, wait a minute. I'm not sure this is smelling right. So now the PGA Tour said, let's bring some other investment groups in. And initially, the Saudis were very receptive to it, and I think still are. But in regards to the percentage of how much these other investment groups would be a part of the deal and the possibility of the PGA Tour saying, PIF, thanks for your time, but we're going to take the money from these private equity firms to form this new co. We're just going to box you out. So by taking John Rahm, as they did, that is, as I like to say, an elbow to the ribs to the PGA Tour and said, don't mess with us. Don't do that with us. Work with us. Kind of give us what we want. If not, we're going to raid your tour and pillage your players. So that's kind of what I feel like has happened with this move with John Rahm.
It was certainly I thought the same thing. It was certainly a strong arm move to say, okay, we're going to go ahead and make a statement right now because we're in the 11th hour of finalizing, I'm using air quotes here, finalizing some sort of a deal between PIF and the PGA Tour. But they've given John a team, or 25% ownership in a team, but he'll be the team captain. They've not said where the other players on that team are going to come from.
Yes, true, and that's accurate as well. Let's talk about John Rahm for a second.
Yeah,
I mean John Rahm has been on the record several times saying that he is loyal to the PGA Tour. His legacy is with the PGA Tour. Now, most of those comments were prior to the June 6th announcement about the framework agreement. From what I understand, John was conflicted. This was not a no-brainer for him to go to LIV Golf because of the words that he has said, and I believe his feelings as well. He's a highly competitive player. The money is obviously the money. I mean, everybody's got a price. I do believe, though, whether he's been sold a bill of goods, that may not happen, but I feel like he thinks it's going to happen. I feel like Piff, in their position with this move, thinks it's going to happen. John feels as if he's going to be able to play on the PGA Tour maybe as early as next year if they get this deal worked out. And here's another interesting thing to think about as well. John Rahm still has not resigned from the PGA Tour or the DP World Tour for that matter. And because of that, technically, he still could tee it up at the Century Tournament of Champions where he is the defending champion. He still could tee it up at the American Express in Palm Springs, where he's the defending champion, because LIV Golf doesn't start until February. If you go back to when LIV started in 2022, the PGA Tour suspended all those players once they hit a shot in a LIV Golf event. So I think the same holds true here. So, I mean, there are a lot of wheels in motion.
Yeah, there is a lot going on, Todd. I thought it was going to be a time where we could relax and buy Christmas gifts for our friends and family.
have some
eggnog. Oh no. The world has there's been a ripple in the force, if you will, with everything that's going on. And I don't want to jump straight to USGA stuff yet because the John Rahm story is a huge story for 2024. I don't know how I truly feel, but I really think now that this shoe has fallen, that there are going to be a couple more announcements over the next week or two. I really feel like that some more boys are going to jump ship.
Here's what I can tell you. As of this Friday, the day after the announcement, Yasser, who is the governor of the public investment firm for Fund Brother for Saudi Arabia. He represents the PIF. He's the big money guy. He's going to meet with Jay Monahan next week, we understand, face-to-face. There's a board meeting with the PGA Tour Policy Board on this Friday. The day that John Rahm was announced, there was a new proposal put on the table for everyone to try to make this agreement happen. I think this has, for sure, accelerated the conversations. This move by John Rahm. And PIF at LIV/PIF. So I believe there's a better than 50-50 chance we're going to have a deal by December the 31st.
Okay.
Interesting.
That's interesting. I agree with that.
What that deal looks like, and you know, is John Rahm still going to play how many ever team events there are on the LIV tour and then still play a couple of PGA Tour events next year? I mean, they could come to an agreement in that. I don't know. I mean, anything is possible now. that's what I'm thinking. But I do feel as if John Rahm made that move to join LIV Golf with the belief, at least the high hopes, of being able to play on the PGA Tour once again.
I agree.
Joined, by the way, with Todd Lewis with the Golf Channel, and I think there are so many different moving parts. It's confusing. Also, for Frank and Todd, I'm curious about this. There's talk about Patrick Cantlay being being a bit of a squeaky wheel, if you will, and he's leaning towards LIV. He's also a false board. Issues with what's going on. Players do.
I think we lost a little bit of Tim there, but yeah, we're kind of losing you, Tim. But I know where you're going with this, so I'll tell Todd, or ask Todd, I should say. Patrick Cantlay has been mentioned, and he's been a squeaky wheel, as Tim said. Do you think Todd? Maybe he's thinking about making the jump. In your best guess,
I do not think Patrick Cantlay is going to go to LIV Golf. From what I understand, we're talking to people that are involved in the negotiations. involved with the PGA Tour Policy Board, Patrick Cantlay is a big voice and trying to make this deal work. Now, he may have a difference of opinion than many others in that policy board, but he is trying to make this deal work. And okay. he has had conversations with Liv, didn't work out. I feel as if, I mean, anything could happen again, but I feel as if Patrick Cantlay right now is, I wouldn't say loyal to the PGA Tour, but committed to make this deal work. I'll say that. How about that?
Okay, that's fair enough. Another question I have, I should say, again, here we go, it's early. Okay, Patrick Cantlay by the wayside. Jay Monahan has taken a few bullets, as we all know, since this all started and that was announced on CNBC. Where do you see Jay in this? Do you see, in your best guess, do you see Jay staying, going, what?
That's a great question. I know this is taking a toll on Jay. You know, everybody could play Monday morning quarterback from a business perspective and say that Jay and the tour should have done things differently. You know, should Jay and the tour taken the call from the Public Investment Fund and Yasser Al-Ramayan in trying to put this deal together? They didn't. They didn't take the meeting. You know, that's a good question. It's a fair question. Should he have consulted more with the players and try a few players, at least some of the top players, who understand, I mean, Tiger Woods being the biggest, of course, in regards to putting this framework agreement together? You know, you can question that. And he has been under great scrutiny from his membership about that as well. I don't know. I think his future depends on what this deal looks like. I think Jay Monahan is a good man, loves the game of golf, and loves the PGA Tour, and really is truly trying to do what's best for the players. So he's in a very high pressure position right now. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, you're right. I agree 100%. He is a good man. We've all been around him. You more than most all, but Jay was very candid about his short leave that he had due to health issues, and I don't know how any human being could have stood up under what he had to deal with, because it was, you know, from the pandemic to Liv coming at him from all sides. He's had the worst commissioner's job in all of sport, I think, for the past few years.
Yeah, I mean, and who's to say that Jay, I mean, this is a total hypothesis, but, you know, maybe Jay wants to get this deal done and say, you know, I've created this entity now, this new co, I'm ready to step aside. He may just want to do that himself. I mean, I think there is still a divide. I can tell you, and this has actually been spoken to publicly, there is still a divide between the players and Jay Monahan from a trust issue, and that was because of what happened on June 6th with that announcement of the framework agreement. He's worked very hard in trying to rebuild that trust to his credit, and he's actually said, I made a mistake in not consulting the players. So, you know, I don't begrudge anyone for making a mistake, but at the same time, saying, okay, I screwed this up. I want to do better. I want to make it right. I mean, God knows I'm not perfect. So, we'll see what happens. That's a good question, Frank.
Yep. I've been the CEO of a company, two in my life. And I will tell you, and we two mergers, as a matter of fact, nothing was shared with the employees about the pending merger because it could have blown the deal up. So I couldn't share information that I had in negotiating in the best interest of my company. I sort of feel Jay's pain, maybe not to the PGA Tour level, much bigger than the companies I was involved with, but I do understand his position from a CEO standpoint of hold those cards really close to the vest, because you're dealing with people's lives and millions and millions and millions of dollars that could be to an advantage for you or go away with the blink of an eye. So I do see his point there. So, Tim, are you back with us?
I think so. And I'm curious too, Todd. Again, we're talking with Todd Lewis of the Golf Channel, and I'll say it quickly in case my audio messes up here again. Is there too big of a friction between the elite players and the non-elite golfers? Because it seems like more and more they come to odds with each other just in the same room, just the players themselves wanting different things.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I do think there is a gap between the, I guess they call the rank and file players. I don't know if that's a proper term, but it's being used a lot. Elite players, because these elite players are going to get into these, you know, several signature events, as they're called. They're going to get more FedEx Cup points. They're going to get more money. They're going to get more ranking points, while these other players are going to get shut out. So, and that was developed by the elite players, essentially. So yes, there is a divide there. You know what I'm concerned of? That's a micro, guys. The macro thing where I'm concerned is what this is doing to the entire game, to the sport. Not the game, I should say, but the game at the highest level. Because in order for high-level golf to thrive, to grow, you have to continue to have a conveyor belt of a new audience. You have to have a newer audience come in. And let's say someone who's a fringe golf fan wanted to kind of like watch more golf on TV. Well, they're looking at this landscape right now and they're like, wait a minute, you got Cam Smith, Dustin Johnson, John Rahm, Brooks Koepka over here. You got Tiger Woods, Roy McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas over here. So the best players aren't playing together regularly. Well, this is confusing. I'm going to watch NASCAR. And I'm really concerned that they are cannibalizing each other and turning fans away of this great sport with the greatest players on the planet. And it's, I mean, we're all in this industry together, and it's a real big concern of mine right now.
I think there's a lot of people that say the exact same thing that you're saying, but it kind of also goes back to the Greg Norman, right? 30 years ago, Frank, 40 years ago, of wanting to shake things up.
Yeah. And with his World Golf Tour idea.
Not getting his way. And do you not see that this is kind of maybe a bit of the Wizard of Oz working behind the scenes? Is this all part of the big plan of disrupting golf by Greg Norman?
Well, he's a disruptor. There's no doubt about it. I'm hearing growing the game a lot. I heard it yesterday from John Rahm. Yeah. I don't feel like this is growing the game. I feel like this is hurting the game. I feel like that, I mean, the people that watch sports, I mean, I grew up this way too. I mean, we're not making a ton of money. We're sitting in our lazy boy. We're watching the NFL to see their favorite team win, our teams win Super Bowls or championships, or the NBA or something. Generally, money isn't talked about. For whatever reason, in the golf space the last 2 years, it's just been nothing but money. And when you're making $50,000 a year and you're watching these guys who are millionaires playing for more millions of dollars, and that seems to be their major motivation and not winning championships, that can turn you away. And so, in my opinion, money should be a byproduct of winning or success. It shouldn't be the major motivation, but it seems like that script has flipped over the last couple of years.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There was a movie a bunch of years ago, where a supposed actor, I think Malcolm McDowell, was playing the part as O.B. Keeler, Bobby Jones' stroke of genius. And you remember the statement he made in the bar toward the end of the movie, where he said, money's going to ruin sport. Just very cleanly, and it's certainly having its impact on golf. I want to go back to your statement about they're going to go watch NASCAR. I think you're right. I think what this is doing is it's potentially diluting the audience for golf, and so it's going to hurt the charities, number one, that we talk about all the time from the PGA Tour standpoint and the donations that go there. That'll be the big loser in the whole deal are the charities. Do you see that too?
Well, I think that could be a potential, well, one of the losers for sure. The other maybe being our audience. Golf is such a great participatory sport. I mean, it's thriving right now. I just hate that it's getting ripped apart at the seams from a viewership perspective and what you watch is at an elite level. So it's tough right now. I mean, I had my reporting hat on yesterday and was juiced up by that. But at the same time, it was pretty melancholy that, here's John Rahm, a guy who I consider is one of the most competitive guys out there, who plays for the passion, the love, and the spirit of the game. And, you know, let's be honest, he's taking the money. Yeah. And so that's tough.
Yeah, that is. It was tough to see last night when John showed up in the Live Golf coat. I was like, okay, well, what's the next shoe to fall? Okay, we've talked a lot about Rom, and I don't want to keep you on too long. I know you have things to do and at least a couple of days off here. But so at the same time, we're going to throw something into the mix called Rollback and the Golf Ball and the USGA announcement that we had. And all of our listeners know what we're talking about, you know, moving the club head speed up to 125 from 120 and changing some of the dynamics in the testing in regard to spin of the ball. What can we have something else occur that's going to be negatively impactful to people right now, Todd? Really?
Yes, exactly what I was talking about. You got this stuff going on between Live Golf and the PGA Tour. We're gonna, and that happens, a big announcement with John Rahm yesterday, the day before, USGA and the RNA saying, hey, you're not going to be able to hit it as far. And so I'm like, yeah, what are we doing? I'm just really confused and like, and I am not into the biometrics of golf ball or golf club design or anything, but it's like, if we are going to reduce the yardage by 6 or 7 yards, I think that's what they said, maybe seven to 10 yards on the elite level, then are we really shrinking the space or the footprint of golf courses? I guess what they're trying to say is, from what I understand, is that they just don't want it to get any further. This is our cap. This is our limit. I'm assuming, but
so freeze it.
Yeah. Okay. But here's the thing. It's like I feel as if, I mean, if you look at, I mean, yes, they are hitting the golf ball farther on the elite level. From an average perspective or in an amateur level, it's not an increase hardly at all.
No.
So you've got better tech, and you got less trees in these great golf courses because they're taking them out, and so there's an obstacle to stop things that's being removed. But you know, these guys are just bigger and stronger. I mean, you look at every sport; they're bigger and stronger. I mean, if you really want to slow down the golf ball on an elite level, just forbid players to go to the gym.
Make them start smoking cigarettes and drinking beer all night before whatever, the next round. Yeah, yeah, I mean, like the old days.
Yeah, like Ed Fiore. And you know, yeah. I'm standing beside Ludwig Ober when he tapped in at the live broadcast at the RSM. Wonderful guy, by the way, and a great player. But I mean, he's you know, straight out of casting for what a modern tour player is. He's like 6'3", he's 24, he's probably going to put on 15, 20 more pounds. It's going to be about 220, 225, angular, limber. I mean, they're just bigger, better athletes right now, and the technology helps them hit the ball better. And I mean, it's just the advancement of all sports, not just golf. So I don't know. It's just kind of, I felt that to be kind of unnecessary, but I mean, I kind of understand their reasoning, but I still think it's a bit unnecessary, especially now.
Well, Todd, you and I both, in our backgrounds, way back, were both musically inclined. You as a right. in a band and singing, and me as a trumpet player. Mm-hmm. So, what we have now in the world, and this is just my tongue-in-cheek statement, is Taylor Swift, a Nashvillian, Hendersonvillian, I should say, on the cover of Time magazine as Person of the Year. Hello? What's wrong with that picture? I think probably Person of the Year should have been somebody from the golf world. Maybe Tiger Woods for coming in and jumping back into the fray, getting on the poor tour policy board. I mean, seriously, I don't know. Maybe that's just my personal statement there. But
they're selling magazines.
They're selling magazines, yeah. Sorry, Tim. You're back. Good.
Yeah. Well, no. That's all I have to say. Taylor Swift.
I'll clarify my statement on Taylor Swift. We're talking about bigger, stronger, better in football. I mean, if I were a quarterback today, I could not snap a ball looking across the line at how big and how fast those defensive linemen are. If I were back in the music business, Todd, both of us, they have what's called auto-tune today, and punch in and punch out, and digital massaging that they do in music. My point is everything has changed. Technology has changed everything.
Evolution.
Do you agree? I mean, it just has.
Yeah, I mean, AI is going to be, I'm probably going to be replaced by a robot or some kind of AI person,
No, you're too good. You're too good at what you do. Stop that.
Yeah, you are. I appreciate your low expectations.
Stop it.
And I'll try to fulfill it.
How is the golf game, big guy? How are you doing?
It is, it kind of mimics my professional life. It's uneasy right now because of everything that's going on in the golf space. And, I love to get out and just kind of escape and hit balls and walk. But it's fine. I appreciate you saying it. It's interesting, Frank, when I said low expectations, you said, Todd, how's your golf game?
Well, you've seen me play, and the times we played together, I think somebody named Todd Lewis always beat me pretty badly, as a matter of fact. So
you need lessons if that's the case.
I need a lot more than that. I need something between my ears to figure out course management, too, but that's beside the point. Tim, jump in. I'm doing all the talking.
I know that. Well, yeah, we've had some audio problems, so we apologize for that part of it there too. But Todd, I'll just finish and I'll say this. And I know again you've got a busy schedule, so we appreciate your time. Other sports, as you said, have also evolved and done other. But you don't see a football field any bigger. The goalposts are still the same. Basketball is still 10 feet off the ground, even though everybody jumps through the gym. I just don't know that golf had to think that they need to change things when all other sports pretty much stay the perimeters that they have. Despite the fact that Aaron Judge can hit a ball 500 feet, the baseball diamond is pretty much the same configuration. It seemed like they did something that was unnecessary, is all I'm saying. We've gained a yard a year over the last 30 years in golf. Well, a yard a year for 30 yards over 30 years isn't that ridiculous, right? And there are ways that you can narrow fairways. Right? Art Selinger is a big proponent of this. A lot of things you can do to the golf course that'll stop guys from trying to clobber the ball 400 yards. By, as you said, taking away trees, adding trees, different things. You just leave a wide open fairway right now, and it's a runway. Yeah, they're going to just haul off and hit it as far as they can. That, to me, is really the bigger difference, not the technology part of it.
I agree. And it's, to be honest with you, it's kind of fun to watch guys hit it that far.
It is.
I mean, the PGA Tour and its players, most of them, not all of them, with the exception of Tiger and Rory, I mean, most of the players I've talked to are not for this rollback at all. They understand that it's, we're in the entertainment business. We're supposed to hit it far. We're supposed to hit it
high. Are they going to take all the tees that they've backed up and built new back tees and move them forward to accommodate the rollback? No, they're not going to do that.
No, I don't think so.
No. So I listened to Lucas Glover yesterday. I don't know if you caught what he said, but I won't say the name of the golf ball manufacturer, but he was testing three different balls that they had that were rollback, if you will, balls. And he said, the first one I tested with my best drive, I got it out there about 230. I went, okay.
Keegan Bradley said the same thing.
Yeah.
He said he wasn't noticing that 3 or 4 or 8 yard difference. He was 30 yard difference.
Yeah. That's what Lucas said. Have you heard that, Todd?
They're not going to like that.
I think I read a quote from Lucas. I didn't hear him saying in the show, but yeah, that's a 60-yard differential.
Yeah, he's
230 for Lucas Glover. So
if I can still play the left dash Pro V1X and Lucas plays the new ball, I might have a chance at a stroke a hole with him. You think? Not. Anyway, so what's on your agenda? I know you just came out of the Bahamas, and we have to ask. How did Tiger look? What's your opinion?
I looked like Tiger looked, he looked, I mean, if I had to grade him, I'd give him a B. I think he looked, I think I was more impressed with how Tiger was pleasantly surprised his body reacted after play. He said the recovery wasn't as bad as it was prior to that ankle surgery. And so that was a very positive positive comment from Tiger. And I think he feels like he said he could play once a month beginning in February starting next year. So we're looking at maybe 6 tournaments, maybe 7 tournaments for him in 2024, which is obviously far more than we have digested the last couple of years. So he's still got some rust in some certain aspects of his game, but all in all, I think it was a positive week for Tiger.
Yep, I thought he looked good. And
he's so big now, man. You do not want to get an arm wrestling contest with him because, I mean, that's by design. He's, a lot of his engine now in the golf swing is in his torso. He can't really push off his right leg like he used to. So his cord is really activating the swing for sure.
Yeah. And I know we're all over the place here, but I have to ask. So Jordan Spieth is still, of course, many, many, many people's favorite golfer. And he moves the needle too. If he's in the tournament and up in the top 10 or so, people are going to watch that final round to see how Jordan pans out because I call him the heart attack on spikes. I mean, he truly is. What did you see in his putting? Have you seen any real improvement?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, Jordan, I'm never concerned about Jordan Spieth as a putter, to be honest with you, even if his statistics don't say he's doing that great. I think he's got such a natural artistic talent in regards to his putting that, I think he's going to be fine. I'm not worried about him at all. There are other aspects of his swing and some of his, a lot of his swing, he's been working for a number of years now and trying to do certain things with his swing. And I think it's finally becoming, he's not thinking about his swing of a golf ball as much. It's more instinctive. I wouldn't be surprised if Jordan Spieth has a really solid year.
Well, we all hope so. Tim?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we'd love to see that happen. Well, Todd,
need a hero. We need a hero out there.
Jordan Spieth's going to have the big S on his chest all season. Todd, we appreciate you. You do a great job on Golf Channel, as always. I enjoyed your interviews with Tiger after he finished playing. You actually got Tiger to chuckle a few times. You said, you looked a little rusty. What'd you think? And Tiger goes, I felt rusty. Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. It's like, what you saw is what it was. I got some rust on me. But you do a great job, and we appreciate the time you give us here on the show. And we'll have you on again real soon because I'm sure there'll be some more drama and more things dropping in the next week or two. So keep your phone handy because we'd love to get some insight from you down the road, okay? Thank you,
Todd. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy. Welcome. Hey, Merry Christmas to you and your family, pal.
Oh, happy holidays to you guys as well.
Take care, pal.
All right. Thanks so much. Todd Lewis with the Golf Channel. And, it's not always easy to talk to those guys after a round. Cause
he does a great job. He really does.
They have a so-so round, right? You don't want to sit there and go, well, you kind of suck today. Can you explain? Let me.
Well, he does. I mean, he gets, he has intelligent questions and probing questions, and he never puts them on the spot, really, but he does ask very pointy questions, which I think is fabulous at the Golf Channel. He's a jewel at the Golf Channel.
Yeah.
Give him a raise.
Yeah.
You should.
Look at you, Frank. His agent now.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm afraid not. Maybe I'll get a few strokes from him when I go down to Orlando to play. But
hey, back to the rollback of the ball thing.
Yes.
I think that's such a reactionary thing, and that's, again, why the USGA and there's and you saw a lot of it from some of the golfers, Keegan Bradley's being one, I mentioned him, are really against all of this, right? And I get you can't keep 300 guys happy if you're an organization, a PGA Tour, with everything you're doing. Get that. Everybody won't like everything you do. But to me, yes, there's an entertainment value to it. Why would you raise the rim in basketball to 11 feet when not as many guys would dunk? Or if they did, they wouldn't be as spectacular. You want that. It is the entertainment part of it. It is an entertainment event, just like golf is. To sit there and say these guys are going to hit the ball 290 or 295 when now we're used to them hitting it 325 is ridiculous. Just don't roll it back. Just say, okay, keep the standards where they are now, and if you hit it, you saw that Rory was the largest hitter on average on tour last year. Well, it was 326. That's not absurd, right? 326.
No.
And 30 years ago, it was 305. Yeah. Like, okay, well, that's not a huge difference. And you and I, what are you going to do, stockpile your OV1s, Frank?
Well, as a matter of fact, my PXG, I'm playing with PXG balls, by the way.
Okay. Well, there you
and
go.
I did play left-dash Pro V1Xs, but the PXG ball is so good that I really like it a lot. So I've been playing it. But here's the deal.
Shorter ball. Yeah.
I didn't hear anything from PXG, but Bridgestone spoke out. TaylorMade spoke out. They had statements. Acushnet, Titleist, find a way to. They were the last people to come out and make a statement. And their comment basically said, and I'm going to, this isn't a quote, this is a paraphrase. They weren't really happy with it, and they're going to work to work with the USGA and the RNA to figure this thing out before we make any stupid decisions, basically, is what they said.
And I think
it because it brings everybody, my point is it brings everybody else back into the ball business.
Yeah.
It's going to take away titles to advantage at this point, it looks like, because now we've got to reinvent the wheel.
Well, I just don't understand the, again, the golf is the rare sport that, you know, if you and I watch the NBA, watch football, you don't oftentimes, especially as you get older, you don't go after watching and say, hey, let's go play in the backyard, and you grab a football and you go play with your buddies, right? Golf is that rare sport where we can, to a lesser degree, but we can do what we watch on TV.
Yes.
Get you more, oh, let's go play, right?
Yep.
And so you have the same equipment to some degree, right? All that, to change that and say, well, here's a different ball than what these guys are playing. Go ahead.
I have to interrupt you, though, right there, because you spiked something, and if I don't say it now, I'll forget it.
Okay.
Well, when you said, obviously, you're playing basically the same equipment they play, okay? Equipment, ball, clubs, whatever. When TaylorMade's president was on television the other morning talking about it, on the Golf Channel with Rich Lerner and the boys, and they brought up the fact that Rory McIlroy said, well, if you guys think you're playing the same stuff we are, you're wrong. You're not. Mm-hmm. And they questioned him about that, and he said, well, yeah, we're going to be with Rory this afternoon. We'll get on the same page on that. Yeah, well, you're basically playing the same things. Because he was basically throwing him under the bus.
Right.
He said, no, it's not, you know, say play the driver that Roy and Tiger play. Well, it's not the same thing, is what Roy said. Can you imagine a CEO of TaylorMade sitting there? I'd be going, come here, son. We need to have a conversation.
Well, and by
if
that,
he
I
isn't,
think,
you don't say that.
Yeah, but by that, you know as well as I do, their shafts are certainly different.
Oh, yeah.
You know, most of us play a shaft that you have no idea what's in that club.
Well, not
which
me.
Is much more of the, which is much more of the length of a drive is the shaft, not the head.
Yeah.
But most of us buy the head, right? We buy a Titleist, a TaylorMade, whatever. But the shaft is a huge part.
So
those
important.
Guys have custom shafts that are just to the nth degree
yeah.
for them, and we don't for the most. So, yes, I get it. Our equipment is a bit different, but it's not like we're playing with wooden
Well, it
clubs.
Doesn't, but it doesn't have to be. With my PXGs, I will tell you, they're fitting and what they've done with me, and this isn't an ad for PXG. It's just a fact. Yeah, I'm a brand ambassador for them, but they've tweaked my clubs. My driver's been tweaked probably 5 or 6 different times. Three different shafts we've been working with, and I've gotten it to the point where I sleep with this thing. I'm in love with this thing. So you can play the same stuff, but you're gonna have to go to one of the fitters and be fitted and then be tweaked a few times. I mean, so
and you should people out there, you should get fitted, even if you shoot 95.
Yeah,
get fitted and play the clubs that are right for you, because we're all different sizes.
And play the tees that are right for you, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's the other thing, right?
You know, you don't go to the tips if, you know, swing speed's 80.
Is there anything more frustrating than seeing hackers?
Oh, our guy in the fairway, he's hit the ball 200 yards on his drive, and he's got 240 left into the green, and he's waiting for them to clear. Love that. Love it. I start screaming down the fairway.
Oh, my. By the way, I want to reiterate, again, Art Selinger is a big proponent of this, but I agree with him 100%. Instead of going to the manufacturers, the easier fix, because that's a lot of technology that you've got to change up and retest. And it's millions of dollars of technology that you've got. You go to the golf courses for the players, I mean, for the courses that are having tournaments on them, for the pros, and say, hey, whatever tournament, the Genesis, you know, narrow the fairways, make the course a little bit more challenging, and therefore you won't have Bryson DeChambeau and all the other guys just rip it as far as they can possibly hit it, because we all know hitting it down the middle in the fairway is a lot better than way left or way right. And he's the rough that if you do hit in the rough, as opposed to now being, it's only a semi being penalized, it's really penalized, like you're playing a U.S. Open, they're not going to hit it way right and way left, and therefore they won't swing as hard, and the 326 that Rory would hit would come down to 310 or 307 or whatever, because he's trying to hit it straighter. That's an easier fix than saying, let's just take a ball.
Well, but what the USGA said, if you listen to all the words that were spoken from Mike Wan and from the R&A, the driver's next.
Yeah.
The driver's next.
Why?
It's too forgiving. 460 cc. That's too forgiving.
Yeah. But you know what, Frank, they did this. What was the first big-headed club? Probably not the right way to say it.
First
enlarged
what?
Club, enlarged head. What was the first one? Was it TaylorMade? Somebody came out with that, you know, the
bigger
metal
head. No, it was Callaway, the Big Bertha.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Yeah, great Big Bertha.
And so that was how long is it? 20, 30 years ago, right?
Yeah, a long time ago.
That came out. Well, everybody back
Ping did it with their laminated woods, okay? Ping was oversized.
Okay.
They did it really before everybody.
But whoever it was, people thought then, oh, my God,
this
never
is huge.
End. It's ridiculous. You can't – Jack Nicklaus hit Ben Hogan, and everybody brought up the past. Here's how the size of their driver was a peanut compared to what it is. But you know what?
Now that you can't swing that peanut that hard either. You don't know where it's going to go, and that's the difference.
But we've all adjusted to it, right? And there was technology, but it's bigger. It was a metal head. I mean, remember, it used to be persimmons our lifetimes.
Yeah. Right?
Things have changed, but that's part of sports. Basketball shoes are made a lot differently than Michael Jordan's shoes in the world 5 years ago, right? They're lighter, they're better.
Who thought you'd be paying that much money for damn tennis shoes?
So that's inevitable. Really? Is kind of my point. Yeah. Right? People are always going to make things better, but it's okay. Keep the parameters where they are. But I just think when you go backwards again, I'm like, oh my God!
No, you can't go backwards. This is crazy. This is just not a good move. Now, Mike Wan is a friend, and I was going to have him on, but I knew you would excoriate him if we had him on the show. So we're just going to give it a little bit of time.
I think we've got time to make some other adjustments. That's my thought, and I think Todd was alluding to that.
Well, we're not going to make it until 2028.
Yeah, it's not over yet. So let's see how they might just say, okay, we're going to tap the brakes a little bit here.
So guess what? You're going to get a new golf ball that goes short, doesn't go as far, and it's going to cost more.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. What amateur?
Oh, by the way, sounds like the electric car to me.
And we didn't we talk about this?
Does it not? It won't go as far.
Didn't we talk about this before when we said if you're a manufacturer, okay, bring up a Pro V1, bring up PXG. Who do you sell your golf balls to? You give your golf balls to the best players in the world. Right?
Of course,
nobody's
you do.
Paying for those on the tour.
No,
the buying public is you and me and the millions of people that play amateur golf. If you're going to say now that that ball is lesser than what I was selling you before, and you're right, the price is either the same or more, why would anybody buy those balls?
Why
would you do that?
I need to go shopping today because I'm going to be playing. I need a new tennis racket, and I'm going to see if I can find a Davis Classic 2.
Yeah.
Remember the size of that head
the
on that
frame.
Racket?
Yeah. John McEnroe.
You had to have the wooden press on it and all that.
Right.
You had to
lock it down with four screws.
So it wouldn't warp. Then you put it in the trunk of your car and leave it there all summer. Kind of like
players
that put their golf clubs in the trunk of their car and the grips crack, it just
doesn't make any sense from a manufacturer's standpoint. That's why they're resisting. Is they're like, we're not going to sell golf balls if you're going to tell us that they're marshmallows now. Why aren't people going to buy those? And don't tell us what the pros are doing because we give them a locker full of golf balls. They're not buying our balls.
Four dozen a week on the average.
Yeah. So the paying public does not want a lesser golf ball. So in any world, where does that make sense?
Well, the paying public can get a deal on golf balls right now at PXG, I'll tell you that. $39 for a dozen of there's not a better golf ball out there.
Yeah.
There really isn't. And I'm dead serious about it. They're really good golf balls. I like them. And a good friend of mine, I gave him a shout out the last time. He made a hole in one and he was using a PXG golf ball.
So are you making a comparison here, Frank? If you used PXG, you will get a hole in one?
Well, I told him, I said, let me see what PXG will do for you. So, and I'm sure they'll do something. They'll probably tell me, since they give me balls a lot, that I've been buying them lately, too. So, but, yeah, I did that. That's why he played with the PXG balls. And he fell in love with them. He likes them now. So,
I would, too.
And the keg party is today out at Bluegrass Yacht and Country Club, where I'm a member, part of the invited clubs, family of clubs across the country, our presenting sponsor. Yeah.
We love them.
I will be out there playing today with him and drinking part of his Blue Moon keg that he had to buy because he had a hole in one.
Oh, good for him.
So the party's today. So
nice.
Calling all non-members, drop by Bluegrass, make him have to buy two kegs. So anyway, all kidding aside, sorry about the technical difficulties, folks.
Yeah.
Today, hope it wasn't too distracting, but we'll get
internet.
We'll get Tim's computer fixed or his internet fixed or whatever. Something's going on. Don't know what.
We'll figure it out.
I don't know. Maybe we're being attacked. We don't know.
Could be.
could be.
I don't
all
know.
Right. Well, I think we're done. I think we covered everything, at least for today. But we'll be
there's more to come
because there's no end to the drama. Not always good, but there's no end to the drama going on in the world of golf right now. And we'll stay on top of it for you and bring you all the latest, the best, most entertaining people and topics that we can possibly have. So thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you to Tim Lewis of the Golf Channel joining us today to give us his intensive insight into what's happening in the world. And for Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks each and every one of you for listening, and join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.